on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM.
Once again, America
WBZH 910 AM. W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Wrangle the votes to pass a short-term spending bill along party lines.
Even if the Senate were to get a short-term bill, it's unclear whether Speaker McCarthy would even take it up. He has these few hard-right members of his party who seem determined to force a government shutdown if they do not get their way, and who have threatened to try to vote him out of his speakership if he were to work with Democrats to get something across the finish line. McCarthy says that he is still optimistic, but the clock is ticking.
ABC's Mary Alice Parks. New Jersey Senator Robert Menendez facing a growing number of calls to resign after he and his wife were indicted on federal corruption charges. At least 18 people reported killed in Somalia after an explosives-laden vehicle detonated today at a security checkpoint. President Biden got his updated flu and COVID-19 shot Friday, that from a memo from the president's physician today. This is ABC News. No real mention of the war in Ukraine by Russia's foreign minister in a speech at the UN General Assembly today. Sergei Lavrov, through a translator, instead blasting Washington, D.C. and the West as self-interested defenders of a fading international order.
Something that clearly demonstrates the West's self-centeredness in their attempts to Ukrainize the international agenda by pushing onto the back burner a number of unresolved regional conflicts, or crises, that many have been in place for decades now.
Meanwhile, a Russian-installed official says Ukraine launched another missile attack on Sevastopol in occupied Crimea today. More from ABC's Tom Sophie Borage in Ukraine.
This attack is a devastating blow for Russia. Its Black Sea fleet is a symbol of Russian military might in Crimea. Ukraine recently executing a number of other strikes on that peninsula, now crucially challenging Russia's dominance in the Black Sea.
Ukraine's military now saying the Air Force conducted 12 strikes on the Black Sea fleet headquarters, hitting 2 anti-aircraft missile systems and 4 Russian artillery units. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number 2 ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. New polling suggests most Americans support efforts to boost renewable energy. Local governments say they're doing what they can. Here's Mike Mohn.
The survey data from the Pew Research Center finds that 2/3 of U.S. adults say America should prioritize developing sources like wind and solar over fossil fuels. Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway says at the local level, elected officials are becoming increasingly aware that climate threats are no longer just a future scenario to deal with.
We have to prepare for the impacts that we know are here and are coming. And we have to reduce our emissions so that they don't get worse in the future. And we have to do both of those things at the same time.
The mayor offered those comments in a panel discussion led by the Center for American Progress. She says federal policies such as the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law and the Inflation Reduction Act are helping cities fund climate-friendly projects. But she adds most local governments, especially in smaller towns, still lack key staffing to carry out the work. She notes the infrastructure laws giving Madison more flexibility to gain steam on certain projects.
Both our John Nolan Drive bridges to be safer, more pedestrian and bike friendly with better stormwater management. We also just built a new pedestrian and bike bridge over a critical intersection.
As for other hurdles to clear, the mayor says there's still room for improvement in getting the word out to local residents and businesses about tax incentives to make their own clean energy investments. And lingering supply chain issues are another factor municipalities face in trying to get more of these projects off the ground. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Aldous Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Aldous Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show. Dominic, I'm calling this one Take a Bow Tuesday edition.
Take a bow, Crudy. I'm a great man. Good to see you. Nate, work on the board. Thank you and our fair audience. Happy Tuesday to us all.
Dominic, we got a couple of fine guests today. A couple of local favorites. Mark Pocan, my congressman, our friend, joining at 4:30. And also from the nation, from the Cap Times here locally, John Nichols in the Happier Happy Hour. And the aforementioned Mark Pocan, he factors into the lead today, if you will, Dom. Derek Van Orden, the insurrectionist, salty, profane, you know, the third CD congressman from the great state of Wisconsin. Well, apparently our buddy Mark Pocan has seen the videotapes. And at the end of this escapade, this profane-filled rant at these high school kids.
Call it child abuse.
Derek Van Orden took a bow.
What, man? What?
I got to tell you, no sober man in the history of mankind, you know, perhaps, unless his name is Maestro, has ever freaking taken a bow. Sober guys don't take bows. Dudes don't take bows. Navy SEALs, congressmen, they don't take bows. Unless they're hammer drunk, I speculate. That's my opinion. That is just confirmation of the hammer drunkenness of the congressman that day. And if you disagree, congressman, insurrectionist, Derek Van Orden, 844-967-2789, coming to La Crosse on September 29th. And then I'm back in the third on October 9th. I mentioned we're putting a certain emphasis on the third CD.
And it's justifiably due. Crudy, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting Lawrence Andrea, freshman Republican, U.S. Rep. Derek Van Orden took a celebratory bow after he reportedly yelled and cursed at a group of teenage Senate pages while giving a late-night tour of the U.S. Capitol in July, according to Democratic U.S. Rep. Mark Pocan, our guest at 4:30, who on Monday viewed the surveillance footage of the interaction.
Nobody takes a bow. WTF, Derek Van Orden. Nobody takes a bow.
Other than the reported bow, Pocan's recounting of the footage offered few new details of the July 27th incident, in which Van Orden allegedly called a group of high school age kids lazy S's and told them to get the F up off the floor as the pages were lying on their backs in the Capitol Rotunda taking pictures of the building's dome during their final week at work.
I wish it was Van Orden's final week at work.
Well, we're working on that. Pocan said Van Orden was leading a group of about 15 people on a tour just after midnight, you know, when all the good work gets done, Crudy, when he approached the pages, who the Madison Democrats said were taking photographs under the Capitol Dome. The pages, some of whom were lying down, appeared startled in the footage, which had no audio, Pocan said, and got up quickly. Well, I'm sure Derek loved that. Van Orden, who was gesturing with both his hands during the interaction, followed several of the pages to another part of the rotunda where more pages were gathered and appeared to yell at them. According to Pocan, six pages were present. Well, I didn't know that part. I didn't know that, you know, I know he's waving his hands around, getting nose, being tough guy. You know, when I say jump, you say how high guy. But then what, he followed them into another room to continue the verbal child abuse? Well done, sir.
After midnight, mind you, hanging out at the office, Tom, as one does after midnight. Now, the pages, they were working. But what was Derek Van Orden doing? He was partying, commiserating, Tom, sharing a few dozen, perhaps, drinks with his constituents, question mark.
When he walked back to his group, he was like a show-off. Pocan told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel after viewing the footage of the house in the House Sergeant of Arms office below the chamber. He took a bow for them, arms out, did a bow like he's singing an opera. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel was not able to verify Pocan's recounting of the footage. An official in the House Sergeant at Arms office refused a reporter's request to see the video, suggesting only members of Congress can view it. Pocan in August asked House Administration Committee Chair Brian Stile to release the video of the footage. Capitol Police do not release such footage and video from the Capitol usually becomes public only through court proceedings or the direction of the House Administration Committee. On Monday, however, Pocan told the Journal that the parents of the pages involved in the incident reached out to Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer in August to ask the footage not be released. It appears unlikely that the footage will be publicly released. Ask about Pocan's description of the incident. A spokesperson for Van Orden said only that Van Orden is laser focused on making sure the government doesn't shut down, referencing the looming end of the month deadline to pass spending bills.
Dominic Putt, Van Orden in July did not deny yelling at the teens and told the Journal Sentinel he was upset because the Capitol Rotunda was used as a field hospital during the Civil War for countless Union soldiers. The relevance, the pertinence, I'm not clear, but that's what he said. Here's more. A quote from the insurrectionist congressman from Wisconsin. I would like to think that it'd be terribly disrespectful to lay on the grave of a soldier that died fighting for freedom, and I don't know anybody that disagrees. Well, anyone that realizes there are no bodies under the floor of the Capitol Rotunda, that's no one's grave. It may have been a point of death, but no one's buried there. Van Orden? You know, a few people died even that January 6th day.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Exactly. What about when your buddies and you were there? You may have not, you know, breached the buildings, Van Orden, but you were part of that party. What about those folks? Did they desecrate the Capitol? Hell yeah, they did. They spread crap on the walls, Van Orden. Where's your attitude about that? Where's your tough guy when it was all your buddies up there desecrating the Capitol, Van Orden?
Well, you know, but it had been rigged and Trump won the election and it was stolen from him. And we felt like we had to go up there and fight for what was right, Dom, you know, and desecrate the Capitol, which apparently Van Orden is under the impression is the grave of Union soldiers from the Civil War. Not a historian, perhaps, this guy. Maybe you should check out more books and read them, not just, you know, make an effort to check out all the LGBTQ books so no other people can be offended like he is. He gets offended a lot, this guy, this Van Orden. Now, I got to think this is perhaps I'm going to undermine his reelective campaign. But here's my question of you. What action in your life, little buddy, and you, the audience, I'm asking everybody, what have you ever done that's merited a bow? Like, I
Greatest radio show ever, every day, man. Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 at 6 o'clock, baby. Bow, baby.
We don't bow so much. We throw the horn sometimes. Yeah. And then you usually, before the music's even done, before the certainly before the Maggie Dawn show ever comes on, you're gone, man. You're like in a bar somewhere, I suspect.
Gotta go, man. Maggie's coming on board.
Is that the problem? Just urgency to clear a space for Maggie on the radio airwaves?
Gotta get the studio squared up for Maggie.
Now, I would like to think, you know, I've had a few spectacular moments in my life, Don, but I'm not clear what was meritorious of bow.
Are you still talking about your high school football career, Curdy? Bundy and me on this one?
Never bowed, never scored a touchdown or anything too, you know, exciting. Did have an interception once as my big claim to fame.
Wow.
I had like 40 yards to the end zone. Nothing but green grass and one quarterback in front of me, but the guy who was the intended target caught me from behind. So no bow necessary. Although I did want to go taunt the sideline just a little bit. But you know how when you make a big play, well, maybe you'd never know this because you've never made a big play in any sport, but sometimes your teammates come around you celebratory. And you know, maybe if you're a congressman or some big shot and hammer drunk, you're going to take a bow. But I cannot think of a single action I've taken in my whole life where I thought, well, the appropriate response right now, take a bow.
Well, I mean, come on.
You never did
the high school plays. You know, everyone comes out at the end and, you know, you do the bow. You never played an instrument. Never took a bow, man.
No, I did play an instrument. I guess we did have like, you know, like middle school musicals. Did you ever have to sing in the musical?
Yes, of course.
Did you sing the proper words? Did you play along? Were you trying your best or were you giving it something less than your full vocal
effort? Sometimes the motivation comes and goes, man. You know, when you sing the same song over and over and over again, you know, sometimes there's better performances than others.
I remember Camelot became like Jamelot. You know, we were so clever then. Those young Crudy days. Well, I can tell you this, Dom. Maybe it was because I never really, really tried. Never really, really tried. Except here on the radio with you. You know, I just, every day, my greatest effort, just tolerating the 2 hours that I'm on the radio with you. But I've never really, in my entire life, done something so spectacularly that it merited a bow, you know, outside the bedroom.
Well, and the other thing as well, the crew he's with. I mean, what kind of people are going to watch this guy verbally abuse, you know, kids? Again, these are teenagers. They are in high school. They're not yet adults.
Yeah. That deserves a bow.
And you know, and they're did they clap? I'm wondering. You know, did they, were they excited about it? Yes. Well done, sir. Well done. Thanks for the
free
beer.
You got the slow clap?
Pocan said Monday of the footage, it just shows boorish behavior by a member of Congress. Instead of being big enough to apologize, he's made up this whole story. Because clearly, when you bow at the end, I don't really think the answer he gave of what happened is probably true. Pocan added, but at a minimum, he should apologize to the teenage pages and to his constituents for what happened. Which time? The guy apologized for being a D-bag, he'd never stop apologizing.
Folks, we are the devil's advocates. We'll take a bow at the end. But right now, we're opening up the lines to you. If you got something on your mind, if you are ready to take a bow, tell us why. 844-967-2789. Lightly screened. Try not to be super hammer drunk.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands. Seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota-style 12-grain, multi-grain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs.
And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us. The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
We are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can dial us up right now at 844-967-2789. Congressman Mark Pocan from the great state of Wisconsin going to join us at 430.
Lasered focused on keeping the government open. Well, the Republicans are also opening the, impeachment inquiry of Joe Biden next week. That shows you what priorities are.
Yeah, right.
And they got a little funding problem because, you know, they haven't actually done the acts of, let's call it, governance so far. And one of the obstructionists is our own Ron Johnson. The government could shut down. The end of the world, or at least the full faith and credit of the United States, could come to an end. And Ron's fine with that.
It's not going to come to an end. It's just going to increase the interest rates as people have less faith in our ability to, you know, govern. What the hell? A few interest rate, some increase on the interest with the national debt, that'll cost everybody. But that's okay. Republicans don't mind.
Dominic, some of the reporting, there are a couple of articles on this. Lawrence Andrea, a busy woman over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Senate proceedings remain largely at a standstill Tuesday following a move by U.S. Senator Ron Johnson to block the advancement of must-pass spending measures as a threat of government shutdown looms over Capitol Hill. They're called must-pass. Rojo disagrees over his dead body, Dom. Johnson's maneuver to object to proceed to an amendment votes on a so-called minibus, as opposed to an omnibus, minibus, package of spending bills led Senate leadership on Monday to move to suspend Senate rules in an effort to override the Osh Vegas Republicans' blockade. And Wisconsin Senior Center, I hate saying that, last Thursday, took issue with the bundling of measures that would fund the Department of Agriculture and Transportation with legislation to fund military construction and the Department of Veterans Affairs. The Military Construction and Veterans Affairs bill, as well as other spending bills, should be considered one at a time, Johnson maintains. Congress has until September 30th to pass legislation to fund the government or, perhaps a shutdown. Dom, here's a quote. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said of the senior senator, "One member mimicking the House Freedom Caucus has derailed the Senate and prevented us from considering amendments, including Republican amendments. It's a reminder that in both chambers, a small band of hard right Republicans are dead set on grinding down the gears of government. And for those MAGA Republicans, it's as if gridlock is a virtue and cooperation is a crime. I asked this small group of Republican senators, what happened to wanting to do appropriations in regular order? Still, Johnson on Monday stood by his decision to hold up proceedings on the spending package. He called for fiscal sanity, Dom, and reiterated his desire for the Senate to take up 12 spending bills, which all passed out of committees with bipartisan support. Individually, no packaging, Dom. This is not regular order. If this was regular order, there wouldn't be any, wouldn't need my consent to break their own rules. We need the House to start passing appropriation bills one at a time, he said. We need to bring them up and pass them here in the Senate one at a time. Actually, that process should have started last May. And the fact that it started here in September just shows how grossly dysfunctional this place is. Well, that's your party running the House over there, Ron. But there's some breaking news over at the Hill, Dom. Apparently an update on Ron's stance. Is he bending? Is he bowing to the will of the sane, Dom?
Crudy, Al Weaver reporting at the Hill. Senator Johnson said on Tuesday he's willing to waive his blockade of the Senate's effort to pass spending legislation if he wins an amendment vote on a bill to end government shutdowns. Lawmakers told reporters that Johnson was in discussions with Senator Susan Collins, a top Republican on the Senate Appropriations Committee, about the potential amendment vote to the trio of funding bills known as Omnibus the upper chamber is attempting to move. The bill Johnson wants a vote on is being proposed by Senator James Lankford, a Republican from Oklahoma. Here's what Johnson said. If they get me that, I'll consent. I need to make sure I get a vote. That's my ask. I didn't ask for anything initially, but I appreciate the work the appropriators are doing. We'll see, Johnson said when asked if Collins was amiable to the idea. Are the Democrats amiable to it? They're the ones who have to agree to give me a vote on that. Senate Majority Schumer said was noncommittal about the amendment vote, telling reporters he had not seen news of the talks. Quote, I haven't seen that yet, so I'm not commenting. Collins told reporters that the lunch was constructive and they might have achieved a breakthrough with Johnson. But that remains to be seen, Collins said, adding that she's asked Lankford to pass along language as his bill and had to talk to Democrats about the potential amendment vote.
Susan Collins, she'll buy anything, won't she?
Yeah,
right. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer was noncommittal. He said, I haven't seen it yet, so I'm not commenting, right?
No comment.
That's shrewd. Collins told reporters the lunch was constructive. Constructive. Anything. I've never seen Ron Johnson be constructive, but anyways, and that they might have achieved a breakthrough. You said that, right, Dom?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, you know, it's so rare that Ron Johnson would be the sticking point in governance here in the United States. Yeah, I mean, he's always so reasoned and moderate. And, you know, I wonder if he's thinking about taking a bow out there on the Senate floor, Dom.
Only if he drops his ivermectin.
Mission accomplished. Why couldn't he, you know, pull up Achilles heel and be out for the season? Could he be out for the session?
Johnson's just doing what he thinks is best. You know what? Here's the other thing. All these Republicans, so very concerned about, you know, oh, they're spending money. What about the revenue side, you guys? I mean, really? I mean, over the course of, I don't know, say 30, 40 years, what have been the tax cuts you guys have shoved through? And everyone's fine. Tax cuts for the rich, and everybody's happy with the tax cuts.
They're the job creators.
So we add to the debt. I mean, they all want the services provided by the government, right? They're fine with that. They just want their tax cuts too. Maybe they should try to balance it on the other side, you know, raise a little more revenue, guys.
Well, they do from the workers. Come back with us. We got fine congressman. He's mine. Friend of the devil's advocates, Mark Pocan. You're going to want to stick around. I'm sure you will.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Don Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Once again, America facing the possibility of a government shutdown. Could happen at the end of the coming week. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy struggling to wrangle the votes to pass a short-term spending bill along party lines.
Even if the Senate were to get a short-term bill, it's unclear whether Speaker McCarthy would even take it up. He has these few hard-right members of his party who seem determined to force a government shutdown if they do not get their way, and who have threatened to try to vote him out of his speakership if he were to work with Democrats to get something across the finish line. McCarthy says that he is still optimistic, but the clock is ticking.
ABC's Mary Alice Parks. New Jersey Senator Robert Menendez facing a growing number of calls to resign after he and his wife were indicted on federal corruption charges. At least 18 people reported killed in Somalia after an explosives-laden vehicle detonated today at a security checkpoint. President Biden got his updated flu and COVID-19 shot Friday, that from a memo from the president's physician today. This is ABC News.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, calling this a Take About Tuesday edition. It gets better right now. I've got my congressman, our friend Mark Pocan. He joins us right now. Mark, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is pretty fancy upgrades. Yeah. I'm not used to this, guys.
Good to see you, Mark. Thanks, man.
Mark, we got a beer fridge and a fridge for the food over here at Civic Media now.
Whoa. Only Van Orden's office has that. I don't know anyone else.
You know, Mark, I hate to start this interview with conversations of another congressional member, but the insurrectionist congressman from the 3rd CD, Derek Van Orden, you were able to view the videotape, let's call it. You saw the video. Mark, what was contained in the video? And why no sound? Why couldn't you hear what he was saying specifically to these high school kids when he was swearing at them?
Well, let me just refresh everyone. I mean, what happened? End of July, before we left for the August break, Derek Van Orden had a bash party. There's pictures of all the booze that he had in his office. And then he took a group of 15 people at midnight for a tour of the Capitol. And when he was there, there were some teenage pages, six of them to be exact, some laying on the ground looking at the rotunda like people do at the state capitol as well as our U.S. Capitol. He proceeded to swear at them and yell at them. The pages wrote down all his swearing. And then he chased him out of the room and said that the reason he did that was because Civil War soldiers died at the grounds that the U.S. Capitol was built on, because it used to be a hospital. So it didn't quite pass the smell test. And, you know, I wanted to make sure someone from Wisconsin who's embarrassing us, because he got bipartisan condemnation in the Senate from both Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer, we knew exactly what happened. I'd asked to have the video released to the public, and the parents apparently contacted Chuck Schumer and were concerned for if the video was released, MAGA retribution online, what would happen to their kids. And since these are high school kids, I heard more when I got back here. No one asked me not to do it, but I clearly, you know, understood we're not going to re-traumatize kids. It doesn't make sense. But I asked if I could see the video. So I finally got a chance on this week on Monday when I came in to see it. You know, Derek, the video had no audio just because it's far away. So I saw two different angles of it. But what happened was he was giving a tour to about 15 people. There was another tour, also another member doing a midnight tour. All of a sudden, he seemed to see three of the kids in the middle. Three of them were on the side. Three in the middle were laying on the ground. So he came up to them very animated, belligerently waving his arms. And that's when he must have yelled at them. They immediately jumped up. Then he walked over the rope to continue to yell at them. And then as they were leaving, going to their other three friends, he followed them to continue yelling at them. But again, I couldn't hear this, but I saw it from two different angles. And then after they left, he walked back to his group. And this is where his story falls apart. He does a curtsy bow, put out his hands and bowed as if he just sang the most beautiful opera you've ever heard. And that, I think, is what shows we knew it didn't seem very honest and genuine what he was saying, that somehow it was about Civil War soldiers. It now appears he had a couple beverages and maybe was a little bit belligerent and was showing off for the 15 people. Somehow picking on teenagers is a show off. I don't quite get it, but that's what we saw. And he's now, instead of double and tripling down on protecting Civil War soldiers' graves, he's now instead saying he's laser focused on making sure there's not a shutdown. He's doing a hell of a job. And because of it, he's not going to respond. But, you know, look, I just think he should apologize to the Senate pages. He should apologize to his constituents and we can move on. But, you know, right now, him building this lie up just doesn't pass the smell test.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Our fine guest, Congressman Mark Pocan, my congressman, our friend Mark. I have never in my life bowed about anything when I wasn't hammer drunk. I'm just speculating, Congressman. But do you think the inebriation, this was clearly theatrical. He's putting on a show for what? His drinking buddies that night? My characterization, sir. What do you attribute the bow to, Mark?
I mean, he was proud of what he did. He was showing off. But again, that doesn't match the story he said. And, you know, look, when he started this, and I forgot to mention it, the other group got out of the room very quickly. So he clearly must have been relatively embarrassing enough that they left the room. And, you know, it's embarrassing for us. I mean, the fact that someone from Wisconsin, we're known as Wisconsin Nice. And I know Derek's not really from Wisconsin. He's been here for a handful of years. And, you know, he's an actor author. You know, he was, a Navy SEAL. But since then, I think he had a small role in Act of Valor and a few other movies that you've never heard of. And he wrote a book on how to be a man, which I bought for $1.87 on Amazon. Apparently, you light fires and throw punches from the book. But You know, I think a lot of what he does is acting. You know, I mean, one of the other things we know is that every single person who meets with him gets offered beer, no matter what time of the day and who they are. So when children's advocacy groups meet with him at 9:30 in the morning, he offers them beer. And that may be what he thinks we do from Wisconsin, but he's stereotyping, right? I mean, you know, we do like beer. You have a beer refrigerator, but do you offer it to children's advocates at 9:30 in the morning and every single person who visits with you? No. I mean, so this guy is like role playing, but I'd rather he real play the job of a congressperson rather than what he's doing.
Mark, just before we move on from this behavior, the guests of the congressman, when he took his bow, did you see any reaction? What were the people that he was with? How were they acting?
I truly didn't. I watched it once of each direction. And I was surprised more by the bow than by looking at their faces. And they were pretty small faces, to be honest, at that point. But, you know, an opera curtsy, kind of whatever he did. I'm used to the bowing as you bow at the waist. If you're going to bow, this is something you bow about. But it was certainly theatrical rather than the way he described it, that he was just in concern of the sacred ground.
Well, it's an embarrassment to the state of Wisconsin, Mark. But the good news is apparently he's laser focused on making sure that we do not have a government shutdown. I am less confident that that's going to happen. I mean, Mark, as far as I know, the math says Republicans could pass whatever they want if they could get their house in order. What's going on in the Congress right now, sir?
Yeah, I mean, nothing. They have officially pulled more appropriation bills off the floor than they passed, which is not the way it's supposed to work. Our fiscal year ends September 30th. We're supposed to have 12 bills done. We got one of them done. The Senate, by the way, and trust me, as a House member, we hate to say good things about the Senate, passed all their bills in a bipartisan way out of committee from 28 to nothing to the worst being 24 to 4. Getting 90 plus votes on the floor of the Senate, and we're still trying to figure this out. And even, you know, today they couldn't even get the votes together to pass the rule to put the defense appropriations bill on the floor. So I don't know what's going to happen. I guess I don't speak whatever language they speak to each other in, but it's certainly not a language of accomplishment because, you know, we have to pass something out of the House to get to conference committee. And it's not the first time by any stretch of the imagination we don't have things done by September 30th, but it is the first time that the complete incompetence of one party can't get their votes together, at least to move these things forward.
Well, Mark Pocan, before you give too much credit to the Senate side, let's not forget obstructionist Ron Johnson from Wisconsin has vowed to block any movement, because the bill should pass one at a time on the Senate floor. No bundling, Mark, no bundling.
I like to refer him now as Marjorie Taylor Greene and drag because, you know, she's obviously the leader of the House, but now that's the behavior he's trying to do. Fortunately, there are more sane people in the Republican Party in the Senate, so he's not exactly getting a lot of support. But, you know, that is the exact behavior we have here, which is dysfunctional. I don't know why he thinks that's good, but, you know, I've never been one to predict Ron Johnson either.
Mark, what about the specific, if he wants to have these up or down votes? Obviously, as you mentioned, you know, bipartisan out of committee, lots of votes in the Senate. What is it about these individual versus bundling together from your perspective that would make
this way it's always done? So I have no idea. I cannot interpret Ron Johnson for you. I'm sorry. You're going to have to get a Georgia dictionary. I don't know what he's thinking. So I can't really tell you. We do this all the time. You know, we group multiple bills together. Sometimes we have an omnibus, which is everything together. I mean, this is how it's been since he's been in the Senate and I've been in the House. So I just don't know what's new for him.
Mark Pocan, let's talk about the impeachment of Joe Biden. I thought that required a vote. I mean, even on the House side, don't you need at least half the House before you can move forward with an impeachment inquiry? And I know Kevin McCarthy went out and said it, but saying it doesn't make it so. Now they're scheduling impeachment inquiry hearings start next week, I believe, Mark. What's your opinion, sir?
Well, obviously this is ridiculous. You know, he's doing it because he can't even get the votes to get in his caucus for this, because there are some sane people that know there's nothing there and they think this is a waste of time, but he has to get the unsane people, the insane people, to vote for the budget. So he's starting this, and then what he's doing is dangling in front of them, I have to stop investigations if we shut down the government, as if people who only want investigations will then somehow vote with him. Look, I don't get how they think. I don't know what he's trying to accomplish, other than obviously this is highly political, but I think the real goal was to get some of the 40 most extreme people in his caucus to somehow vote for the CR. And if they can't fund an investigation, maybe they'd vote for it. I think that's what he's trying to do, but he's clearly not doing it very well.
Mark, shouldn't there be a vote of some sort before they even hold these hearings? I mean, I realize they have the majority, a slim majority in the House side. They have the right to hold hearings, but do they have the right to call them impeachment hearings without a vote?
You know, they've called all sorts of hearings. That doesn't stand out for me as much. I mean, if it were formal processes, maybe, but you know, this is allowing people like Jim Jordan to do what he already does and just call it something that Marjorie Taylor Greene thinks has multiple syllables, so it's big and important. I don't know what else to say.
Mark, I know you served here honorably in the state legislature. You were a legislative leader on the assembly side. The maps. We now have this big quandary, and we have a new Supreme Court, a newly cast 4-3 liberal, quote-unquote, Supreme Court. And now your pal from your legislative days in Wisconsin, Robin Voss, is threatening to impeach a Supreme Court justice before she ever voted on a single case. Mark, it's getting kind of ugly back home here. What's your opinion on the impeachment of Protasiewicz, or the threats thereof, at least?
Three words: elections have consequences, right? By a 200,000 vote margin, people didn't like the gerrymandered maps and the 1849 abortion law and other things and decided they wanted to have a different type of justice. And they got what they asked for. And now the Republicans in the assembly are trying to overturn the election. So one, I mean, how ridiculous is it to say you're going to impeach someone who hasn't even heard a case yet, right? Clearly, that doesn't pass any smell test whatsoever. And then it seems they pivoted to, all right, well, then we'll do maps just like in Iowa with a citizens panel. You guys said you wanted it. But what he didn't put was there's about an 800-pound asterisk on that, which is, at least in Iowa, if the legislature can't agree to maps, the courts draw them. They took that all out, and the arbitrators are the gerrymandered majority that's already exists. So it's completely ridiculous, so ridiculous that the Republican, I think, former speaker or legislative leader and Democrat who put that in place said, hey, don't call this the Iowa model, because it's not. I think they're backed into a corner. They just have to accept they lost an election. There are consequences to elections. And, you know, if people think, which you can simply by looking at the math of the legislature, think they're rigged, they're rigged. And hopefully the Supreme Court will do something about that.
Well, Mark, they just get rid of the elections administrators like Megan Wolf last minute, sir. But Megan Wolf, by a vote of the Senate, would be out on her ass. I'm not sure if that's legal. They're going to litigate it. But Mark, quick opinion on that.
Yeah, you know, the legislature clearly is in a place where they are feeling attacked, and they're trying to change the rules of the elections because they're losing elections. And honestly, I think that only makes them lose more elections. So, you know, this is why people have to care about what happens, whether it's an April election or a November election, because your vote really does matter.
Mark, next time you're in the district, come on over. We'll offer you a beer morning, noon, or night, sir. Thank you so much, Congressman.
9:30 in the morning, I'll bring kids.
More Devil's Advocates. Stick around. Mark, appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been the
this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
My immediate thought when I read about this and then watched it today was, please don't die, Senator McConnell. I couldn't disagree more strongly with Senator McConnell's policy positions, but he has been one of the only elected officials that's in a leadership position for the Republican Party that hasn't completely supplicated himself to Donald Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. Join us at 844-967-2789. 5 o'clock, John Nichols from Cap Times the Nation magazine going to join us in the happy hour.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest to find one. My Congressman, Mark Pocan, sounded so damn good. It sounded like he was in the room with me here. He wasn't. He was in D.C. But you know who got fooled? Senator Dale Schultz. Dale Schultz is actually in the building right now. He's visiting with his former chief of staff, Todd Alba, Civic Media Zone. Todd, catch him in the afternoons, 1 to 3 o'clock. But anyways, I see Dale Schultz come strolling by. He's looking for Pocan. He's not here to see us. He wants to see Pocan. He was under the impression Mark was in the studio. We were drinking a beer. He wanted a beer, I think. Have to make sure someone offers Dale a beer before he leaves. But anyways, great to see Senator Dale Schultz out in the lobby here, and nice to have Mark Pocan on the stream here, not in studio. Next time, Mark. And John Nichols joining us in the happy hour, Dom. So we got that to look forward to. But there was a little Spencer Black op-ed you wanted to get to before we ran short on Wisconsin time this hour, Dom.
You know, at the Cap Times, and we like ourselves some Spencer Black, but this one really jumped out at me. And, you know, maybe I'm just that easy. An opinion piece, guest column at the Cap Times, Spencer Black, entitled Wisconsin Legislature, Where Democracy Goes to Die.
I've known you since college. You've always been easy.
Is Wisconsin about to become the state where democracy goes to die? Question mark. Republicans, who control the legislature only because of the most extreme gerrymandering in the nation, are threatening to use their illegitimate majority in the state assembly to nullify the landslide victory of Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Without any defensible justification, Republicans in the state assembly are talking about impeaching Justice Protasiewicz in a desperate maneuver to prevent the potential overturning of their extreme partisan gerrymander. If they vote to impeach, Protasiewicz would be prevented from voting on any case before the court. Their potential vote for impeachment is clearly unconstitutional. To impeach a justice, a high bar must be met. Our state constitution specifies that a duly elected official can only be impeached for, quote, corrupt conduct in office or for crimes or misdemeanors. Clearly, no crimes have been committed, and the Republican phony charges of corruption, quote unquote, have already been considered by the Judicial Commission and dismissed as being without any merit. Impeachment cannot be invoked simply because it is politically beneficial to a political party, in this case to maintain the extreme partisan gerrymandering that allows Republicans to illegitimately keep control of the legislature. It must meet the specific standards required by the Constitution.
Dominic, let me run down the standards. The state constitution does allow the legislature to remove a justice under a lesser standard. That provision of the Constitution, Article 7, Section 13, is called removal by address. Unlike impeachment, which requires only a simple majority in the assembly, removal by address requires a two-thirds majority vote of both houses of the legislature. Republicans cannot constitutionally overturn the landslide vote of the people for protosewitz with a simple majority of one house. They cannot use a simple majority of one house to disable the duly elected Supreme Court any more than they could override a veto with a simple majority just because they don't have the votes of two-thirds of both houses of the legislature. Perhaps, Dom, now we understand why Republicans admire Vladimir Putin. In Putin's Russia, elections for their legislature, the Duma, are held, but no matter what the people want, Putin's party always wins. In Wisconsin, elections for the legislature are held, but because of the rigged maps, the Republicans always win, despite the vote of the public. Remember, electing protosewitz was the only way the voters had to get rid of gerrymandering and to be able to decide for themselves which party would control the legislature. That's how it's supposed to work in America. But in Wisconsin, instead of American democracy, the Republicans want to impose a Putin-style autocracy. The electorate cast their votes for Democrats for the assembly by a strong margin. However, because of rigged maps, Republicans gained a lopsided majority in the legislature despite the will of the people. Voters overwhelmingly approved referendums for fair maps, but those votes were only advisory and had no power. Voters choose a governor who explicitly ran on a platform of independent redistricting commission. When the governor kept his promise and appointed an independent nonpartisan commission that created fair maps, the former conservative majority of the Supreme Court blatantly ignored the voters' wishes and the state constitution. The only way voters could get rid of gerrymandering was to put a progressive, fair-minded majority on the Supreme Court, and they did just that. And they did it in a landslide. Wisconsin once was a shining light among states, being known as the laboratory for democracy. Republicans have flashed that. Pardon me. Let me get this right. Republicans have flushed that once proud reputation down the toilet. So much so, a national commentator recently blasted our state as a laboratory for autocracy. I think we touched on that one as well.
Yes, indeed.
Spencer Black, Cap Times, 844-967-2789. Our fair audience, Joe from Madison. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi, Joe.
Hey, good stuff. Great information about, as one of your guests referred to, Ms. Chug-a-Lug Van Orton, offering beer at 9:30 in the morning. And, you know, I love a beverage as much as anybody, but man, that's early. That is really early.
You can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning, Joe.
I mean, and the only way to really properly offer a beer at 9 a.m. is if it's, you know, alongside of Bloody Mary as a chaser.
Or as a Boilermaker.
Smart move. Yeah, a smart move. But I did want to offer two other nice items. Apparently, there's a woman named Molly Michael who spilled to the federal investigators today that Mr. Trump was using documents marked classified to put up his to-do list for the day, which was kind of a nice one.
I'm shocked that he needs to write down, watch TV, eat a Big Mac.
Good point. And if you want to check out the Daily Beast, apparently they started out with talk about a leak. Apparently a draft resolution to oust Speaker McCarthy was left on a baby changing table in the Capitol. So enjoy.
Well,
that's all I can say. Enjoy. It's a banner day.
Matt Gaetz was sitting on there trying to change himself.
Or his date. Not sure. Thanks for the call, Joe.
Oh, damn.
844-967-2789. Mark, you get the last minute. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, thanks guys. And Dom, you asked the question I wanted to. I wanted to know if they were applauding Derek Van Orden, his little party gang those with, because all those people are just jackasses anyway. The fact that any of them didn't chew Derek Van Orden out for ragging on those kids is just disgusting, too. I mean, who the hell is Derek Van Orden hanging around with if he thinks he can get away with crap like he pulled?
Sycophants, Mark. You know, just like him. They love being close to power. Thanks for the call, man.
Party people. People that like to chug beer. You know.
Well, lots of people like to chug beer, but, you know, yelling at kids and then making some stuff up about the Civil War. I mean, it's so embarrassing.
Have you ever chugged beer at a U.S. Capitol?
Yeah, right.
Come back to Happier Happy Hour. John Nichols, our fine guest.
Now at Staples, the prices of HP printers are dropping. Save on HP Smart Tank and enjoy even more savings on ink. Save on the HP Inkjet, perfect for high-quality pics. Save on HP Laser printers, great for tackling high-volume document printing. Now through September 30th, save on Staples' entire selection of HP printers, some as low as $69.99. With HP printer price drops at Staples, now is the time to upgrade to HP, America's most trusted printer brand. See staples.com/HP for details.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was the thing for about five like a minutes. Week.
Everyone was excited, and then they moved on.
Well, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Oh my gosh, it's more fun than a big block of Colby or cheddar. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
ABC News on